The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. Eric Metaxas Show with your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, I'm going to update you on what happened to me the last few days. We're finally back in the studio. Yes. Albin, first of all, the most important thing, you can see that I'm tan.
Yes, really?
And I believe that I'm tan for such a time as this.
Yes.
I believe this is God's timing for my tan because I met with Donald Trump the other day.
Oh, there's a tan guy.
And it was on my bucket list. Someday in the future, I don't know when, that I would perhaps be tanner than President Trump. And by the grace of God, I have achieved that. I can check the box and finally move on with the rest of my life.
Wow.
I was in his presence, and I was even more tan.
Wow.
And a lot of people think that I showed up there and I shook his hand and there was like electricity and then suddenly the tan came over me.
Right, I thought
but
that.
But no, he's just a person.
Oh.
You see, he's not the Messiah.
Oh.
Some people, they get that mixed up. And that's understandable, but it's wrong.
Yeah.
So, this is my tan, ladies and gentlemen. I got to tell folks what happened over the last few days. And in a couple of minutes, by the way, we're going to get to the really meaty story of Trump and what happened in the mall in D.C. with Sean Foyt.
Mm-hmm.
He's the man, you know, behind it all.
Yes.
So he'll be our guest in a couple seconds, right?
Yeah.
But before that, I'll tell what happened before that. So before that, I flew to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I put the finishing touches on this tan.
Yeah.
To the glory of God. Hallelujah.
I thought that was turtle wax.
This is a real tan from the sun.
Okay.
This is natural.
Oh, all right.
This is not like some J-Lo glow. This is the real deal, folks. Natural. No, but I went to Florida, okay? I flew back the next morning, so early in the morning, to come back up here to drive to Bedminster to meet Donald Trump. You know, Sean Foyt and I met there. And I was so exhausted. And we're going to talk about that with Sean in a second. But the next day, okay, that night after the whole Trump thing, I drove home. I ran out of gas, and I'm, like, looking around for a gas station. I can't find a gas station. It was so late. I was, like, finally, like, forget it. I'll get gas the next time I use the car. I am just exhausted. I go to bed. I wake up. I missed my flight.
Oh.
I was supposed to fly to Burlington, Vermont.
Yeah.
Okay? Before, I was going to go to Washington, D.C. for the mall, the D.C. mall, the big event, Let Us Worship, 9/11, all this stuff, right?
Yeah.
I had a gig in Burlington, Vermont, with a Republican conservative Christian group up there. And I don't think I've ever missed a flight. I'm very punctual. It's my German side. I'm hyper punctual, right?
Yeah.
I missed my flight.
Oh.
And this is one of those things where you really say, you know, if you're like me, you're like, Lord, why do I have to go through this? First of all, there were no flights. It was kind of a miracle that Sarah, who helps us with this, she found a flight. I have no idea. I looked. There was nothing.
Wow.
I was thinking of taking a train to Burlington, Vermont. That's
goodness.
Like on the Canadian border. Oh,
wow.
I don't like to disappoint people if you say you're going to be someplace.
Yeah.
Anyway, she finds a flight. I get to the airport for this other flight, right? But I'm still wondering, you know, like scratching my head, like, how could I miss a flight? Why would I miss a flight?
Yeah.
I don't miss flights. I don't oversleep. And like, what happened? Well, while I – this never happened to me before. While I'm boarding the plane, I see a black woman sitting in a wheelchair with a neck brace. She's about to board the plane. And usually, obviously, they board people in wheelchairs, people, you know, before they board the people either sitting in first class or business class or if you have priority or whatever. So I'm waiting to get on the plane. And I can't remember this ever happening to me before, but I felt like I should ask this woman if I could pray for her.
Yeah.
But I don't normally do that, even though I have so many friends that do that kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever done that before. And but I had this impression, but I can't say it was like a word or something. Like, it was just a sense that I should pray for her. But I've never had that before. So I chickened out. And but because she was in the wheelchair and I was sitting in business class, I was right behind her getting onto the plane. And so it just so happened that I kind of helped her with her luggage. And at that moment, I said, ma'am, I said, I feel this urge to ask you if I could pray for you. Can I pray for you?
Yeah.
And she knocked me right in the jaw.
Well,
just
I
kidding.
Would have.
Just
yeah.
kidding. No, she said, yes. Would you please pray? I said, what happened to your neck? She says, I fell down the stairs and it is not healing. So I prayed for her, and we were the first ones on the plane, so there was hardly anybody around us, right? But I prayed for her, you know, pretty powerful prayer. And when I finished praying, she said, God sent you to pray for me because today I'm going to bury my daughter.
Oh.
And I said, what?
Wow.
Her daughter passed away. Now, this woman is not – she's probably around our age, maybe a little bit older, but she was flying down to rural Alabama to bury her daughter. Mm. And she said, I know that God sent you to pray for me because I'm going to – and I thought, look what God does. God sends a stranger. This woman is on the darkest day of her life, yeah. traveling alone in a wheelchair with a neck brace to bury her daughter. And God sends a stranger who wasn't supposed to be on that flight. I was supposed to already be in Burlington, Vermont by the time mm-hmm. this happened. And I had this strange thing. And he wanted to bless this woman and to encourage her.
Yeah.
And it thrilled me. And I said to her, you know, we talked a little bit. And then I realized, and look how God wanted to bless me. He wanted to encourage me like, hey, Eric, I did this for you to let you know, like, I'm in this. This is not just, hey, here's some crazy idea you cooked up in your brain. What are the odds?
Yeah.
First of all, I don't normally do that. And then when you do it, that the woman happens to be. I was so blown away by that. I said, I want to share that with my audience because it was really moving. I mean, it was absolutely
That's great.
A moving thing.
Wow.
And I also want to share that in the midst of all this craziness, Sean will be on in the next segment, but being in D.C. and all this stuff, during this whole period, my 94-year-old dad has been in the hospital. Oh. He had an inflamed aorta. They call it an aortic abscess. Absolutely life-threatening. And when you're 94, whatever. So yesterday, finally, he was operated on. My brother said something went wrong during the operation, and it is a miracle that my father lived.
Oh.
So I want to ask prayers for my dad because I love him more than life itself.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
And I guess I also want to say that the idea that we can't visit him because of a hospital. This is Danbury Hospital in Danbury, Connecticut. The fact that we can't visit him is so sick. I'm going to write a letter to the Danbury Hospital, to the board of the hospital. This is unconscionable. It is preposterous. They should be ashamed of themselves. They're covering their butts, I guess, for COVID stuff. Total garbage. You have a 94-year-old man in the hospital getting an operation, and his own family can't visit him. He's in a private room. This is Danbury Hospital in Danbury, Connecticut. I can't tell you. My whole family is just so disgusted, sickened, that they would do this.
Yeah.
And so I want to say to any hospital in America, but especially to Danbury Hospital in Danbury, Connecticut, you folks need to get your priorities straight. You're flat out nuts, and you're harming lives. If you don't think it makes a difference if a 94-year-old has his family visiting him, then you don't know anything about medicine, which would be a bummer since you're running a hospital, quote unquote. So I just thought I would just mention that. That's Danbury Hospital in Danbury, Connecticut. I cannot believe that the hospital has set up that policy. It's astonishing. We're living, folks, I want to say it again, just so you understand, we're living in insane times. And if you know that, it proves that you're sane. And I think those of us who are sane, who believe that, you know, there are two sexes, maybe it's not a great idea to get the vaccine, maybe socialism doesn't work, maybe the election was stolen, you know, we've got these kooky ideas. We're sane. And I think we need to encourage each other to speak the truth. Even if you get it wrong, don't ever be afraid to speak the truth. Don't ever be afraid. Okay, before we go to Sean Foyt, I want to say John Zmirak.
Yes.
Loved my new book.
Yes.
And if you want to be on the launch team, go to my website, ericmetaxas.com. You can read the book today. You'll see when you get there. Go to ericmatax.com. You can read the whole book right now. It doesn't launch actually officially till October 19th. So if you want to do that, do it. And at stream.org, John Zmirek published an excerpt from the book. So you can read an excerpt. Anybody can read that.
That's great.
But I want to say, and if you go to my website, there's one of the places where you pre-order the book is super cheap. Folks, take advantage. It's insane. It's 45% off. I don't know how they do it. Okay, we'll be right back with Sean Foyt. Don't go away.
Good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name. Because there ain't no one for to give you no pain.
Hey, folks, I've got to tell you a secret about Relief Factor that the father-son owners, Pete and Seth Talbot, have never made a big deal about, but I think it is a big deal. I really do. They sell the three-week quick start pack for just $19.95 to anyone struggling from pain like neck, shoulder, back, hip, or knee pain, $19.95, about a dollar a day. But what they haven't broadcasted much is that every time they sell a three-week quick start, they lose money. In fact, they don't even break even until about 4 to 5 months after if you keep ordering it. Friends, that's huge. People don't keep ordering Relief Factor month after month if it doesn't work. So yes, Pete and Seth are literally on a mission to help as many people as possible deal with their pain. They really do put their money where their mouths are. So if you're in pain from exercise or even just getting older, order the three-week quick start for $19.95. Let's see if we can get you out of pain too. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com. I use it. It works.
Hey, folks. Remember I said that I was in Washington, D.C. with Sean Foyt for a Let Us Worship event? Yes, that's what I said. And I also said that I visited President Trump in New Jersey with Sean Foyt. I said, what if we could get Sean Foyt on the program to talk about this? I've had so much fun with him and his team. Sean Foyt, my friend and brother, welcome to the program.
Thank you. So good to be with you.
What a great looking studio. Where are you right now?
I am in my truck in Northern California right now. We have, because of all these fires and all the smoke and the craziness, our internet is horrible, which brings me to this point. Right when I'm done with you, Eric, I am going to recall the governor of California in the election.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so this is airing today.
I have a recall date with my wife.
And you have a recall date. That's the best kind of date, to recall a tool of the enemy, a communist governor. What a sweet, sweet date idea for you young people. That's so cool. Good for you. Good for you. Now, by the grace of God, Larry Elder will be the next governor. But people need to pray. People need to vote. And people need to understand that the system is stacked. We've never had this in America where the corruption is so horrible. We've got to really be on our toes. But let's get to the fun part. You and I, first of all, we spent this weekend in Washington, D.C. I can't believe – I feel like I'm still there. We just left yesterday. It was amazing, Sean. It was amazing. First time I've ever gotten to see you do what you really do, and it was beautiful. It was on the Mall with the Capitol behind us, and there was no insurrection taking place that I observed. Did you see any insurrection happen?
We were bringing an insurrection to hell.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the real insurrection, an insurrection to hell via prayer and worship. It was so beautiful, honestly. Now, before we get into that, we have to cover our meeting with the president. I can't tell you. It was like comedy, was it not? I mean, it was really hilarious.
Yeah, it was a full-blown SNL skit that was real life.
Where do we begin? I mean, first of all, we waited for a long time, right? Because he had all kinds of stuff going on. I think he was meeting with Mickey Mantle at the clubhouse or something like that. I don't know. He's like, you know, celebrities are coming to pay homage. But they come like Nicodemus. They don't want anybody to know they were there probably, right? Did you get that impression?
Well, I did snap a picture with A-Rod. So I'm going to out
him. The A-Rod. Yeah, you know who snapped that picture? I snapped that picture, you jerk. Yeah. Yes, you have a famous Eric Metaxas photograph. I snapped the picture. So listen, you and I, we were there to meet the president. Tell my audience why, in case they're not, you know, they're not tracking. Why were you and I in New Jersey to meet the president?
So So I invited the last four presidents since 9/11. I invited all four presidents, which would be, you know, Bush, Obama, Trump, Biden. I invited all of them to come to our
You consider Biden
National
the president?
Day of Prayer. Excuse me?
You consider Biden to be the actual president? We got to have an offline conversation because I don't think that actually happened. But that's okay. I hear what you're saying. Go ahead.
Well, I invited all four of them to come. We have it was just by the grace of God. Last year, we had the largest church service on the National Mall. This year, we were asking for dates to have the permit again. And the only dates that the Park Service gave us was September 11th and 12th. Which was just, we didn't want those days, but I felt like these were the days the Lord had for us. It just so happened to land on the 20th anniversary of 9/11, September 11, 2001. And so I felt like, what if we turn this day into a day of prayer for America, considering Afghanistan, considering all the craziness? And so I invited all four presidents to come, and only one of those four responded back.
Is that a fact? Isn't that interesting? And would that have been Donald Trump?
I believe that is true.
Yes,
Eric.
That was Trump. So we were able to get a meeting with Trump at this Bedminster location. It's kind of like the Mar-a-Lago North. And the whole thing was surreal. We were standing outside, you and I standing outside waiting for him to pull up. I felt like we were, you know, the grooms waiting for the bride to show up at the limo. And he finally shows up. He gets out of the car. And he did you hear what he said to me? He said to me,
"I think so, yeah."
He said, "Who's the long-haired freak?" No kidding. I said, "Don't worry, Mr. President. He's going to cut his hair. He's still very young." No, he said to me, he was so sweet. He said, "Oh, I finally get to meet you." That's how gracious this man is, that he would say that. And then, of course, we taped him giving his remarks, which we played on the Mall 2 days ago, 20th anniversary of 9/11. Even that was comedy. Tell my audience about this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, it was amazing. He wanted to show up in person and made that very clear to us numerous times.
In D.C. In D.C., he wanted to be there on the Mall with us.
On the Mall, yeah. And he told us because Joe Biden had planned three consecutive visits to all of the sites for 9/11 for PR stuff. He took the entire bandwidth of the Secret Service. So there wasn't enough Secret Service to really secure the National Mall for him to come. So the next best thing was for him to give an address, a speech, which, you know, it was incredible because, you know, he really fit right into the heart and the theme of what we were going for. He called out 21 days of prayer in his speech, which we just launched yesterday, 21 days of prayer. I don't know the last time a former president has given a call for 21 days of prayer.
I know the
America.
Last time. Never. This is the first time. And look, this was our idea. You and I said it's not just to have a day of prayer on the Mall. We need to launch a season of prayer because we are in as desperate straits as it gets. We don't need to do the math and get into it, but we are desperate. We need God to move. You and I believe that the only answer at this point is God. You know, there are certain times when you can go crazy and do all kinds of stuff. Unless God decides to bless it, right now we're dead. We've never seen anything like what we have in America right now. I don't need to go into the details. And so we said 21 days of prayer. So how are we going to do this, Sean? I want to help, but you really have an amazing platform. What are we suggesting?
So we launched it yesterday, 21 days of prayer. And our heart behind this is we want everybody around the world to join us praying a very simple prayer each day. Now, some people may want to fast along with that. Some people may want to take an hour, but literally all we're asking is for 5 minutes. Everybody to jump on letusworship.us. Again, that is letusworship.us. A box will pop up that says join 21 days of prayer. You put in your phone number, your email address, and we can send you these short prayers. Yesterday's prayer was 3 points, preparation. Today's prayer is 3 points. We send it to you. So far, we've had, I think, close to 30,000 people signing up to say, I am going to be part of the army that's praying for America, which is just astounding. That's just in the last 24 hours, Eric.
Well, now that we're talking about it on this program, I think a lot of people are going to sign up and they want to be part of this. Folks, if you don't want to be part of this, that means you're pro-Biden. Can you live with that? President Trump, who I believe was elected back in November, he joined us in calling the country to 21 days of prayer. Now, you know what? I have to joke around, but honestly, I really believe God is calling us to pray because God wants us to participate in what's going to happen in the future of this country. I believe that God is going to move. I believe we're going to see dramatic things that we've not seen. And maybe because we haven't seen them, we don't even know they can happen. Folks, I'm here to say I think they can happen. I think they will happen. But we should pray. So go to letusworship.us, letusworship.us, sign up there. I'm going to be doing this, absolutely. I'm going to be talking about it on the radio program. Let's talk about what
And we're going to have, and I want to add as well, we're going to have incredible virtual interactive prayer meetings that are going to happen every few days. So, like, for example, on Friday morning, this Friday morning, Bill Johnson is going to be hosting a virtual prayer meeting.
Whoa.
Where we're going to ask everybody to come on, and he's going to be sharing his heart for America. Eric, I'm going to have you scheduled to come do a virtual prayer meeting. We got Jensen Franklin that's going to jump in. A lot of different people, generals in the faith, are going to be helping us along this journey, really get in sync with the heart of the Lord for what should we pray for America. It seems so overwhelming with all of the news and the narratives and the craziness going on. And so I feel like this is a season. What if we can just consecrate our hearts for 3 weeks to just say, God, we trust you. We're gonna partner with your heart to see revival come to America.
And again, I want to say, I know there are people that they don't think this way. I want to encourage you folks to think this way. When things are as desperate as they are, I think God allows things to get this desperate to finally force us to say, okay, I get it. There is no answer apart from God. We all say, oh, I believe in God. Well, God doesn't want us to believe in him. The devil believes in him. He wants us to trust in him, to pray with him, to give our lives to him. That's what this is about. So we're going to be right back. We're going to talk about what happened with Donald Trump. This is funny stuff. Go to letusworship.us, letusworship.us. Sign up for that. This is exciting, folks. You want to be a part of this, folks. Please join us, letusworship.us, and we'll be right back with Sean Foyt.
I was lost, but now I'm found. I was gone, but now.
Hey there, folks. Don't adjust your set. I really am this tan. I am tan for such a time as this, folks. I met with President Trump. I wanted to be more tan than he was. And by the grace of God, I achieved it. Unbelievable. Sean Foyt was there. Sean, you were there. It was like wonderful and comedic at the same time. There's something inherently funny about Donald Trump. I can't put my finger. There's something very entertaining about him, no matter what he says.
Yeah, I mean, he first thing he told me is that I was handsome, which made me feel really good.
Donald Trump said you were handsome, and then he said, get a haircut and get a real job.
Well, he didn't say that part, but
I said that.
My wife told me I was handsome.
I said that. That's so cute. I know. He was so sweet and gracious, and then he comes into the room. He goes right over to the teleprompter guy and starts telling him, I want you to change this and change this. And I said, wow, Mr. President, you're really a hands-on guy. You wouldn't know that. You'd think that he's got staff that takes care of this.
Yeah.
No, he takes care of it.
I think it's, you know, he always reiterates his days in media and The Apprentice, da-da-da-da-da. But I thought what was so funny, and I had to do a little, minor counseling session after the taping with the video, with the lighting guys, you know, because he came in. And the teleprompter guy that was with us, he's been with the president for 5 years. He's traveled to nations all over. He's been he was on Air Force One. He did teleprompter stuff for all of his meetings, his rallies, his speeches. And he warned our lighting guys. He says, now when Trump comes in, he's going to want it darker than it is right now. He loves it really dark. And the lighting guys were like, okay, we can figure it out. And he tried to reiterate, no, he's going to want it really dark. So the first thing he says when he comes into the room is, oh, it's too bright. Everything's too bright. It's bright everywhere. Do you remember that?
But, of course I remember it, because I know that your team is emotionally scarred. But I'm not kidding. I found it hilarious that this guy, you know, this billionaire who's, I mean, probably the most famous person on the planet, and he is micromanaging the lighting and stuff. Now, why do you think the teleprompter guy said he wants it? Why would he want it not? Why does he want it dark? Like, I didn't quite get that.
Well, he said when he was in there to the lighting guys, when you get old like me, the light just shows everything. So we got to get it dark, you know. And he said, does anyone know how to work the lights here? Because they weren't getting it dark fast enough.
Well, he was a little sarcastic, but that's my love language. That's how I operate. You know, like people just kind of, you say something and they kind of look at you and you're like, can you, you know, I'm not the president of the United States and I have no patience. So I can imagine he's thinking like, hey, can you make it darker and nobody moves? So he really micromanages things, but he was gracious. I mean, I was just amazed, and I just had a very normal conversation with him. At some point, I almost got into an argument with him.
That is right.
We can't talk about that. But I figure like the reason I'm arguing with somebody is because I feel like I want to help them. I want them to know what's actually true versus what they just said, which I happen to know was not true. Anyway.
Well, I think also it's the fact that you guys are both New Yorkers. And, you know, you're both aggressive, and I think I love that. In fact, I told the lighting guys, you know, because some of the lighting guys are from California, you know, and I said, hey, listen, the reason why the Taliban didn't mess with us for 4 years because of what you just encountered.
That's right. That's right. If Gavin Newsom were president, we would all be under the caliphate right now. So, by the way, when we... you got him to sign your guitar. That was kind of amazing that you did that.
Yeah, that was special. I bought this American flag guitar that I was going to play on 9/11. And then this thought came into my head. You know, I got it off Amazon. It was the only guitar I could find with American flag in it. And, you know, kind of cheesy, but like it would have just been super cool. And I thought, well, I wonder if I got him to sign. I wonder if he'd be up for it. Well, so I brought it in there. And all of his aides were like, well, you can get him to and just see what he does. Well, he was stoked, you know. But the problem is that the Sharpie was not working, guys. The Sharpie was not working. And I tried to tell him because it was an acrylic Sharpie that can write on, you know, on guitars. And I was trying to explain to President Trump that you had to shake it to get it to work. And he's like, oh, no, it's just a bad pen. I was like, no, I think you just got to shake it a little bit. And I have this all on video, by the way. It's incredible.
You do?
And
all right.
So finally I shook it, and his Secret Service guy gave me a notepad to kind of test it out on, and I gave it back to him, and he was like, oh, okay. Just went inside.
It's all comedy. It's all he's larger than life. He's like a living cartoon figure. But it was such a joy to be with him, I have to say. And then later on he graciously signed hats for us. I have one right here. He sort of explained to us how he signs the hats. I don't know if you want to shed any light on that.
You know, he just was talking about, you know, we've sold so many hats and this is awesome. And he's like, sometimes I'll just do half the signature and it'll be great.
it was so entertaining.
Really got me.
It was so entertaining. Well, we got to get serious. So we taped him, and it was extraordinary to watch him do his thing in front of the camera. But then you and I were on the Mall in D.C. Now, you've done this a million times before. This is your thing. But it was so powerful, Sean. It was so amazing to pray and to worship God. And, I mean, did you think, like, 10 years ago that you would be doing stuff like this?
I mean, I didn't – you know, I've shared the story before. I didn't really care much about America or have much hope for America. And I think it was only when COVID happened and everything closed down. And here's the wild part of this, Eric, is, I mean, when we first started, you know, doing Let Us Worship, it started as a petition against this tyrannical orders of these governors, you know, telling us we couldn't worship, we couldn't gather and pray. Meanwhile, 3,000 people are inside.
Oh, wait a minute. We got a hard break. We got the rest of that sentence on the other side. Folks, you want to hear this.
Somebody loves me.
Hear the
the latest reporting and analysis on the big stories of the day on the Daybreak Insider podcast. It's top-notch reporting from SRN News, along with the sharpest insight from Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, Sebastian Gorka, and the voices of townhall.com. The Daybreak Insider podcast. It's your first look at today's top stories. Available at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, and at SalemPodcastNetwork.com.
Folks, I'm talking to Sean Foyt. Sean, you were just telling my audience we got cut off how it was that you said all these churches are shut down in American COVID, and you said, I want to take this outside where they cannot criticize us for having a church service. So what happened?
Well, I was mentioning how it was such a surreal moment for me being with President Trump because it was hard to get support, man. I mean, I've grown up with all these worship leaders, songwriters, pastors, these prophetic guys that prophesy about being a bold church, being courageous. And when these orders came down, you know, it was like everybody began to cower, and it was hard for us to find allies, to be honest. It was hard for us to find people that would have our back. And so walking through that kind of lonely season. Now, at the same time, thousands of people were coming in all these cities, but yet here I am sitting a few days ago, and I have the former president of the United States of America giving us a shout out, giving us a speech, a beautiful speech on the mall, having our back, calling America to pray. I mean, it was just like only God can orchestrate that. You know, and I think it just goes to show a lot of you guys out there that are watching, sometimes the Lord calls you into seasons to do things that it feels a little lonely. It feels a little isolated. You feel like you don't have the support. You're going against the grain. But God's going to come in, man. And if he can call the president, you know, President Trump to get behind us and call America to pray, he can get behind anything he's calling you guys to do.
See, that's, I mean, it's interesting because when I wrote the Bonhoeffer book, I remember noticing this about Bonhoeffer's life, that the more daring and courageous he got, the less people had his back, and it became more and more lonely. And of course, yeah, today we all say, oh, he was great, he was a hero. But at the time, a lot of people in the church were either actively speaking against him or suspicious of him, or they were silent. And we're getting a lot of that today. People that are just silent, they think, well, I don't know. That seems a little political. That seems a little this. That seems a little that. So it does get lonely. And what you have to realize is that either you're following God or you're not. And if you're following God, you can deal with the loneliness, which hopefully is temporary, because you're listening to a higher authority. At least that's the hope, right? I mean, none of us can say in a cocky way, like, I know. But you really just, you're forced to choose. You're forced to figure out, like, do I go with what people are saying or do I go what I think God is saying? And you and your team have been heroic. I'm so impressed with your team. Jay Koopman, by the way, that is one of the most anointed, talented, brave Christians I have ever had the privilege of seeing. What he did in the Bronx with us a little while ago and what he did the other day, he's an amazing person. Tell my audience just briefly who he is and where he comes from, because Jay Koopman is you couldn't do what you're doing without Jay, so we should mention him.
Yeah, no, he's incredible. I mean, I think the nature of what we're doing when we're going into these cities is we have to get rowdy and grassroots. It's kind of like street evangelism. There's a part of it that's like that. And so, you know, we're calling people, you know, drug dealers to come down and throw their drugs on the stage. We're calling prostitutes to come get right with God. We're calling people that were going to commit suicide to get free. You know, people battling same-sex attraction to get delivered, like all this kind of stuff we're going after, you know, the fullness of the gospel. And so in order to go after those things, you got to kind of have that aggressive Brownsville like altar call. I mean, we listen, you know, make America great again, make altar calls great again. Like, we need altar calls in America right now. It is insane how we have such a lack of call to repentance in the church. And this is why we're not transformed. And so a big part of our movement is every time that we gather to worship and pray, we preach the gospel, we call people to get saved, we call people to repent for all of the stuff that they're in. And it's wild, Eric, how hundreds of people, I mean, you saw it on the mall, hundreds of people are running to the altar because they want to be free. And that's really what Jay brings. He brings this tenacity as a former drug dealer. His mom was a prostitute. His dad was in prison. He was in prison. And he has this history that shatters the religious ceilings and sets us free to get right with God.
Well, it's beautiful to watch. I mean, in some ways, the bravest thing is when you call out people, you say, with same-sex attraction, do you want to be free? Most of America would say, can you say that? That's offensive. Well, it's not offensive to the people in the crowd who are struggling with this. They are thrilled because no one else seems to believe that God has a plan for them, that God wants to heal them, that God wants to bring them a peace that they have not had. And so you guys have the guts to talk about it. It's just a beautiful thing. And there are a lot of people that I think they just don't understand what is going on, and so they have to call these events super spreaders or whatever it is. If you were there, it was just a beautiful thing. And we did two nights. Well, you did two nights. Tell us more about the prayers the next day, the White House, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So, this is our second year in a row of doing this. And one of the things we really try to do is really saturate the city of DC. It's almost like a pilgrimage for believers. You know, going to the capital city, a place of significance that affects every area of our life, and then going to the places in that city that really need prayer. So we went to the Supreme Court, and last year we had the largest prayer meeting ever in American history in front of the Supreme Court. Over 3,000 people showed up in the rain, and it was significant because it was on the eve of Amy Coney Barrett getting confirmed to the Supreme Court. And actually, since that prayer meeting, every single religious liberties case that's been brought against the church has been overturned in the Supreme Court. So that's amazing. We're undefeated since our last prayer meeting. So we gathered there on Sunday morning, and then we went to the White House after that and prayed and worshiped at the White House. Eric, you were with me together there. And then we moved to the Lincoln Memorial, and we did a prayer meeting there. And then we convened for the grand finale on the National Mall. So we hit all areas of D.C. We just saturate the city. I mean, you could see Let Us Worship gear, you know, shirts and everything was everywhere. And it's just something that we really like to do. We're going to go and take over the city for a day, fill it with prayer, fill it with worship, shift the narrative of what people think about that city.
Can we grab you for another 9 minutes, or do you have to go?
Yeah.
Okay. So, folks, let's remind you before we go to the break, letusworship.us. We want you to join us, Sean and me and many others, praying for the nation. The president referred to it in his remarks. This is a really important season. We have Yom Kippur coming up in a couple of days, folks. God has his hand on this country. Join in and pray and fast. We'll talk about that more in a moment. Don't go away. Hey there, folks. Okay, we got a big announcement.
Yes, we
got
do.
The grand prize winners.
We do.
So I'm talking to Sean Foyt, but we put that to the side. He'll be back in a couple of minutes here. But I just said we got to jump in here and announce I want to announce two things. I want to announce the grand prize winners for our Food for the Poor fundraiser. We said anybody who gives anything, you get put in a hat and you get randomly chosen. We have three winners. But I want to say, before that, folks, we really do need to pray for this country, and specifically pray today for the California recall election. I've already heard there's all kinds of fraud going on. We need to know what the people chose today, or are choosing as we speak. And the very idea that we'd have to talk about this, how ugly things have gotten, where we have to deal with fraud, with corruption, with it's totally wicked. So please pray for the California situation, folks. Please stop and say a prayer for that. And all right, so we get to the happy news.
Yes,
we have three grand prize winners now. Food for the Poor. We do every time we do a fundraiser, We just say we want to bless three people. So no matter what you give, doesn't matter if you give $5,000 or $10, your name goes into a hat. So we put some names in a hat, and three names popped out. Yes. One of them is Loretta. The other one is Janet, and that's Tim is the third one. That's all I can say.
Really?
But now I'm prepared to reveal the rest of the story.
All right.
Okay, Loretta McGee.
Yay.
McGee, Loretta McGee. Yes, Loretta, from Decatur, Alabama. That's right. I thought it was Decatur, Georgia, but it says Decatur, Alabama. Sorry. Loretta McGee, that's you. You're one of the grand prize winners. Now, Janet, you're wondering which Janet.
Okay.
Are you named Janet? That's not the important thing. The question is your last name Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R? Janet Mayer Meyer from Stowe, Ohio. Come on down,
yeah.
Janet. And then Tim Sullivan, Saginaw, Texas. Yeah, Tim, you were the Tim I was talking about earlier. Tim Sullivan, Saginaw, Texas. We're going to mail you signed copies
Golf
of
Club.
My books, Alvin's books,
yep.
and all kinds of other books. We can't send you a signed copy of the Donald Trump hat because this is worth like $1,000. And so we're going to use this to raise funds for a charity in the future. But I just want to say thank you to all of you for participating. Every single one of you, honestly, it means everything when you participate and when we ask you to participate and you do. So thank you. And a specific thanks will be coming in the mail to Loretta McGee, Janet Meyer, Mayor, and Tim Sullivan. Thank you so much. Now, Alvin,
yes.
We should mention that if you go to frankspeech.com, now this program is on there every day as a one-hour TV program. Okay, so on the weekends, we're on TBN, but that's just a 30-minute program. If you want to know what we do the rest of the week, we have a one-hour program every weekday at frankspeech.com, lindelltv.com. It's a TV show, folks. We recommend it. Mm-hmm. This may even be a part of it. I don't know. But the point is that this is very exciting.
Yes.
Mike Lindell is a hero, ladies and gentlemen. What he does, I just got a call from him a moment ago. He is just... he's an extraordinary person. Please, do me a favor. Do yourself a favor. Pray for him because the world is on his shoulders at this point. When I think about what he has been doing, the people that have attacked him,
yeah.
attacked him financially. If you want to help him financially, obviously you can go to MyPillow or MyStore.com, order anything. I wanted to make my books available at MyStore.com. Because a lot of people say, I don't want to shop at Amazon. I want to shop here. Well, this is another option. If you go to mystore.com, use the code Eric. Most of the prices are very good. Some of them are amazing. We're going to have Bonhoeffer posters there available very soon. Astonishingly beautiful. You'll
yeah.
see. But anyway, support Mike Lindell and do pray for him. And when we come back, more with Sean Foyt and then Dr. Stella Emanuel, we're going to talk about COVID, the vaccine, ivermectin. You got to hear it. We'll be right back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.